Good morning. Well, the weather's a little bit better this morning, isn't it? Amen. I hope you had a great Valentine's Day and got something from your sweetie. And things are looking good. I'd like for you to be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Good to have everybody here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul writes here and he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, he says, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profited me nothing. Paul writes here and he says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. He said, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hope all things, endureth all things. And then in verse 8 he says, love never fails. Love never fails.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage, it's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary. Try, try, try to separate them. It's an illusion. Try, 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 and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one, you can't have none, you can't have one without the other. Separate them, it's an illusion. Try, 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 and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one. You can't have one without the other.
Love and marriage. You can't have one without the other. Well, hey, well, we're in 2008 and that isn't necessarily so. I've got two articles here that just blows my mind. But it seems like love and marriage doesn't go together like it did before because it's sleep together time. It's a time to cuddle up with your honey without being married and everything. I like the one that I read about old Janet Jackson, and it's really cool here. She said, twice I thought I found the right person, you know, my love child, but I got it wrong. You see, without God, you're always going to get it wrong. That's just the way it is. And so with Janet Jackson, she thinks that she got it wrong twice, and now she's living with this guy that she's with now, and there's no marriage in the future, and of course, God is not there either. The other one I saw was Matthew McConaughey there. This is called an article. It said, a self-described religious person who sang in the choir of the Methodist Church and prays often. Well, a few days after this interview, he announced that it's from his website that his 25-year-old Brazilian model and his girlfriend of 2 years are expecting a baby this summer. He said, I'm stoked, man. He told me afterwards on the phone, yippee, I have dreamed about this all my life. I mean, it's a surprise, but not a shock. Hey, when you sleep with somebody, it ain't a surprise, right? It shouldn't be a surprise or a shock. But here it is in 2008, love and marriage don't go together like a horse and carriage like it did, because God has kind of been putting on the back burner. He said, if you have a good relationship with yourself and with God, you won't be lonely. Well, I don't know about you, but I've seen them on the porches in summertime, and you have too. An old man with snow white hair, and he's hard of hearing a little bit like me. You're reading the newspaper with a magnifying glass, and you see an old lady sitting beside him with her hands are withered and her knuckles are gnarled by the arthritis she has. She's wearing sandals to ease her aching arches, and she has a shapeless dress on. They're holding hands. In a little while, they will totter off to take a nap, and then she will cook supper, and they will fall asleep watching reruns of Lawrence Welk. And through the night, they will snore unabashedly, probably, and each rest in contempt because the other one is there. They're in love. They have always been in love, although sometimes, you know, they would have denied it. And because they have been in love and they have survived everything that life can throw at them, even their own failures. Now, how many of us can relate to that couple? When the storms of life come, and they will, how will your marriage fare? How will it be handled? That couple there was a godly couple, was a Christian couple. What about the other relationships that you have, your friends and your family, your co-workers, your boyfriends, your girlfriends? See, others do not even see the need to stand before God pledging their love anymore and to the one they want to spend the rest of their life with. They just think that if the love wanes, or if it lessens, or I'll get another one. There's no relationship, there's no marriage, there's no kids, there's no harm done. And the flip side of that is true there for us that are Christians, and for those who are married. They just say, if my love for you diminishes and we just can't get along, we can always get a divorce. After all, it doesn't, God doesn't want us to be miserable. Reminds me of the guy that, kind of got in trouble. And sometimes you guys, you need to understand this and not get yourself into a problem like this. But his wife wanted to know, she wanted to go on vacation. And she kept badgering him about vacation. And he was all right with it. And he said, where you want to go? And she said, well, someplace where I've never been. And he said, how about trying the kitchen? That'll cause a problem every time. Then, if that wasn't enough, he was getting ready to watch TV, and they were sitting down. She said, what's on TV tonight? He said, the same as it is every night. He said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, dust. You got to watch what you do. There are two things that the guy did say that he had, that how they get along in life. He said, when they go to the mall, they always hold hands. And guys, you ought to do that with your wives. Amen. Because you let go, they'll shop, man, in a second. And that's why he did that. And the other thing he said, you know, twice a week they go out to eat. He said, you all would need to do that. You need to do that in your marriage. He said, I go on Monday and she goes on Thursdays. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul tells us how we can keep the flames burning even when the feeler gets stuck, your feeler gauge. And that's where we are in a society today, is built on feeling. Your feeler gauge gets stuck. And there may be days when you don't feel like loving your spouse. And God's word does not spell love, F-E-E-L-I-N-G-S. He spells a commitment. It's a commitment. When marriage comes, it ought to be a commitment that I'm there and that's the way it's going to be. Judy made a commitment all those years ago and she still put up with me and we're still together. Commitment time. The Bible says here that Paul says, that when he's speaking here, he said, verse 4, he said, love suffers long. Love, in other words, what we ought to say, and you ought to write in your border there on the edge there, love never gives up. That's what love patience is. Patient love is love never gives up on the other person. I mean, there are things that aggravate each one of us, things that irritate us in our marriage or with our folks or with our friends or with our relatives. But that's what kind of love that Paul calls on us to have. That love, it never gives up. Patient to endure misfortune with confidence and endurance. Patient to bear wrongs done to us. Not quick to retaliate when you're wrong. It's so easy in our lives to retaliate in a marriage when we've been wronged or we think we've been wronged, to lash out at the other person. He also says here, love suffers long and is kind. See, love cares more for others than for self. That's what kindness is. Kindness strives to make the other person happy. It's not about making you happy. If you're self-centered and you want everything your way, you're going to have trouble in a marriage. You're going to have trouble in any kind of relationship with our friends or a marriage or workers that you're working with. If everything's got to go your way, and if it just doesn't go your way, hey man, I'll blow my top in a heartbeat. You're going to have trouble. Love doesn't do that. And see, we as Christians ought to have this kind of love. And this is agape love, the love that God had. God had patience with you and me. And he's still having it. Amen? He's still having patience with you and me. A lot of times we don't exactly do everything God wants us to do. And he's patient and still. And he still loves us. Love abounding above everything. He doesn't. He's kind and he's patient in our lives. He's patient wanting us to come to him and to make a difference. Verse 4, it also, it envieth not. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't, is not jealous. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Not jealous. See, jealousy leads to suspicion, man. You get jealousy in a marriage, you got problems. You got problems because the other person can't move because the other person's jealous all the time. The other person's scared to talk to somebody because they might get jealous. The other person's scared to go to the store because somebody might be there or they're worried about them going to somebody else. Listen, man, if you got a relationship with Jesus Christ and your husband is and your wife is in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't need to worry about that. Time to grow up. Time to get a life. And yet I've seen people so jealous that you know what they do? They ruin what they have. They'll ruin a marriage by jealousy. By absolute jealousy. Worried all the time what's going on. See, jealousy leads to suspicion. Jealousy leads to fear. And then jealousy leads to competition. It always leads to competition. And in the end of that is not good. It's not good. We're talking about the great love, that agape love that God has. God loves us. Now look in verse 4 again. He said, love vaunteth not itself. In other words, is not boastful. It doesn't boast about love, doesn't boast. Boasting flows from pride. Boasting flows from conceit. So you don't have to boast. I got a guy that I know his marriage is in trouble that always tells me every time he sees me how much he loves his wife. Oh, I love my wife. I mean, and Harold Rutledge went out there to preach with this dude and he told him how much he loved his wife. He just kept telling him that, telling him that, telling him. I told Harold when he went out there, that's exactly what he's going to tell him. You know why he's telling him that? Because he's got a problem. Listen, if you see me and Judy together, you ought to know I love my wife. I don't have to tell Trent I love my wife. He'll see it in the way I act, the way I treat her. The way I love her and care about her. They'll see that. You don't have to tell somebody that. You don't have to broadcast. It's just like a guy telling us, somebody said, I'm a great preacher. You know, a short people cast the longest shadow when it's nearly sunset. You know, you don't have to tell somebody you're a great preacher. You don't have to tell somebody you're a great singer. If you're a great singer, you're a great singer. It'll come to you. You don't have to boast about that. And if you love your husband or you love your wife, everybody will see that. Verse 4 again. He said, love is not puffed up. Love doesn't have an inflated ego. And arrogance inflates our ego. We get arrogant. Arrogant blows our own whistle. Arrogance comes from pride. And so that's why he brings that up in that context and in that order. Love is not boastful. Love doesn't have inflated ego. You know that the guy that only thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread? You ever meet anybody like that? I had a guy, Jeremy Wilson, call me from Lima, Ohio, and he's working with this young couple, and he says, what can I do? He said, his dad's going to come over, and he said, you know his dad. I said, I do, and he told me who his dad is, and I said, he's an egomaniac is what he is. And so you got to watch him when you come into Bible study with him. I'll tell you exactly what he's going to do. Because the guy thinks everything revolves around him. He doesn't know there's a God out there that he's going to have to deal with in the end. Verse 5. He said, love does not behave itself unseemly. In other words, love doesn't force itself on others. It's not rude. Rude behavior comes like a storm. Rude behavior comes like a violent wind upon a relationship. I've seen guys treat their wives terrible and be rude to them. Talk bad about them. You know, I'm not talking about in the kidding thing, but I'm talking about when they're talking bad about them all the time. Had one guy in Lima, Ohio, always talk bad about his wife, always talk bad about his wife, always putting her down. Like, listen, you talk bad about your wife, they ain't saying much about you. You married her. Them people are not together anymore. You can't take that kind of abuse, girls. There's no sense in it. Doesn't force itself on anybody. Verse 5, it says, seeketh not her own. In other words, love isn't always me first. It should be them first. And if we have that, and that's a relationship that we have in the church, you know, not, don't put yourself above somebody else. In Philippians chapter 2, if you'll be turning there, keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians. Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes here to the church, and he says right there in the first part of chapter 2, he said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same, well, look what he says, same love, being of one accord, one mind, and then he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. See, selfishness is thinking about me. Selfishness is demanding. Got to have it my way. And yet, God said that kind of love is not to have a place in a Christian's lifestyle. And listen, Christian, you need to understand one thing, that when you become a Christian, when you obey the gospel, you're to change. You're to change. The problem is people are immersed in the Christ and never change. They still have the arrogance. They still have the ego. They still have the pride. They still are rude. They're saying, well, that's just me. Listen, that's not just you. Yeah, that may be you, and that's the problem. I no longer live, but I live within myself. That's what their verse ought to be. But in truth, the verse is what? I no longer live, but Christ liveth within me. That's the verse you ought to possess in your Christian life. You're to be a changed person. Showing that kind of love and care and growing up in the Lord Jesus Christ the way we would have it. Look what else he says here in verse 5. He says, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't irritate someone else, doesn't get irritated quickly. I've learned one thing in my life. A hammer does not fix a washing machine. Yeah. Don't worry, it didn't fix a sweeper either. But when I was a non-Christian and something break down, I go off the deep end, man. Go off the deep end. Fly off the handle. But now something breaks down. I was in Kroger's parking lot. I went to Kroger's to pick up some stuff for supper. I come around the corner at Kroger's, and a guy backed into me and hit my car, and he's taking out the whole passenger side. And after the cop pulled me off of him, I was I happy? No, I didn't get out there and say, joy, 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 joy. I got out here and looked at it, and I, But guess what? Getting mad? Was that going to change that dent? Blowing up at that guy? Was that going to make a difference? It wasn't going to make a difference at all. It wasn't going to help anything. It wasn't going to change anything. It wasn't going to get my car customized. He already did it. There's no sense flying off the handle. Listen, guys. And I know when you're young, you're all trying to get ahead, and you got kids and that, it's easy to blow your top. But when stuff breaks down, there's nothing you're going to do about it. You know, all the screaming in the world, all the jumping up and down is not going to fix anything. Cool your heels. Last part he says there in verse 5, he says, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. He says, doesn't keep score, take it into account. Keeping score places others in bondage, you know, keeps score, weighs others down. In other words, you did something to me, I'll do something to me, to him. We had a friend in Lima, Ohio that that obeyed the gospel, and his wife was on him constantly for something he had done 10 years before. 10 years. Before he ever become a Christian. She's a Christian too, and she kept hammering about him, hammering about him, hammering about him, hammering about him. You need to let it go. How's the guy living now? How is his life now? How's the woman's life now? Man, I'm telling you, if they obeyed the gospel, you know, God forgave them. You need to forgive them too, and you need to get over it. Because if you keep bringing up stuff that happened 6 years ago and 7 years ago, your marriage will never work. Your relationship with your friends would never work. Your relationship with your workers, fellow workers, would never, never, never make it. You don't need to keep account of stuff. How would you like God to do that with you? Raise your right hand. Oh, there isn't any out here? I don't want God to keep count of everything I've ever done. He says, rejoiceth not in iniquity in verse 6. In other words, it takes no delight in sin. True love is loving the Lord and doing His will. And yet we see people who say, like Matthew McConaughey there, he said he loves the Lord. They say they love Jesus yet. I love Jesus, but if you love Jesus, you'll do what Jesus wants you to do. And yet, the guy glosses over the Bible and picks out what he wants to pick out. And you know what? The worst part about this whole scenario is young people are reading this stuff. Young people are watching these people. These become the icons of our 2008 generation. That's the problem. Verse 6. He said, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. So love longs for truth. Truth seeks honesty. Truth seeks loyalty. Truth seeks fidelity in a marriage. Faithful to your wife. Faithful to your husband. That's what it's all about. And truth, truth seeks God, because we know that He is truth. And John 17:17 said, thy word is truth. And we know John 8:32, by heart I know you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So if you really love God, if you really have that agape love, you're seeking truth. And when you're wrong, you're wrong. Change. When you're wrong, repent. When you're wrong, come to the Lord. I see denominational people every day that say they love the Lord, but then you present the gospel scriptures to them, and yet they don't love Him in that scripture. You can't pick and choose how you love the Lord in truth. Verse 7 says, beareth all things. There's a preservation there. There's a covering. There is silence. In other words, you're to protect. Love seeks to protect. I'm going to protect duty with everything I have. Love is faithful. It says there that he says in verse 8, or verse 7, when he says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That believeth there is faith. That word comes from faith there. So believing leads to trusting. Believing leads to confidence. Confident leads to faith. Love always looks for the best. Always hopes for the best, it says here. We're looking ahead to this year, and we're hoping for the best because we have God in our lives and Jesus Christ in our lives. He said in verse 7, he said, loveth endureth all things. You know, endurance means moves ahead. You never look back. Love never looks back. Listen, guys and gals, whatever you did yesterday is not important to God. Whatever you do today is, in the rest of your life. Don't let somebody keep you out of the kingdom because of what you did yesterday or the day before or 6 months ago or 10 years ago. Don't let anybody hold you back from the kingdom. Because love never looks back. And that's what we're talking about. The agape love of God never looks back. Verse 8. Charity never fails, or love never fails. Love, and here's the key, love keeps going on to the end. I like what this is. Love never gives up. Love will never give up on you. That's what God, that's that agape love will never give up on you. And love never loses power. So no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Valentine's Day. Supposed to be the day set aside to love. And yet God set aside every day a day to love. He said, what's the mark of His children? That they love one another. And that love doesn't stop at the door here of this church building. That Doyle love doesn't stop 5 hours from now, 10 hours from now, 24 hours from now. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And that love can be yours this morning. As Steve comes to lead us in our song invitation, that love can be yours this morning. By obeying the gospel, I'm talking about that agape love, the agape love that forgives, the agape love that forgets, the agape love that will wash away all your sin, the agape love that will raise you out of the watery graves of baptism to rise and walk in the newness of life. That agape love that Jesus, that our God is going to send Jesus back one day to get his people and take us home. You know, there's a song, love, love, love. Love is all you need. Love is all you need. All you need is love. Well, that's not necessarily so. You need the right kind of love. And that love is only in Jesus Christ. As we stand to sing our song of invitation, if you have a need in your life, won't you come? There it is. I love you, Lord. There it is, that love. And that love is agape love.